This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We welcome you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for years, Raising the Standard. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we hope you'll be blessed with what you hear, not because of Don and I and Miss Margie here with us, but because we're going to give you some things from the Word of God.
So I want to mention that we are here and we have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to come and worship with us, the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, over on Osceola Street. It's 445
Southeast
Osceola Street, and that's at the Alliance Church in Stuart,
Hallelujah.
Florida.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. For them.
We thank the Lord for them. Amen. And we give God all the glory, and we just love the Word of God, as we know that you love the Word of God, because that's what we bring forth, isn't it, Pastor Gene?
And that's
we
it.
Margie's here with us.
And that's why we're raising the standard. The Word is right. The standard.
The Word is the standard, and we thank you for the Word of God and His standard.
Amen.
I want to mention our phone number here in Stuart, Florida. That's 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. I want to say hello to our apostle and prophet on Andros Island, Roscoe and Audrey.
We love you both.
The Temple of God. And the roof is going to be going on. The rest of the supplies will be coming in the next week or two.
Hallelujah.
And so we just thank God for what He has done. And one day we will say that the roof is finished. Amen. Praise God.
And they can move into the building.
That's right. I want to say hello to some other special people. I spoke with Mary Ann and Luz. They're listening, hopefully, and say hello to them as well. And to all of you out there who are listening and who have listen to this radio broadcast, Raising the Standard, over the last many, many years, 21 years almost.
21 plus, yeah.
21. Oh, it's over 21.
That's
years.
Right.
And many of you have God's, Pastor Gene's book about God's prophetic calendar. It's called Pictures of the Messiah. If you would like to have it, you can just call us and or send us a check, and we would be glad to mail it to you. It's only $25 plus shipping and handling. It reveals God's festivals of the Lord and all the prophetic times and all the feasts, plus much more. The calendar is one. In last days, the book of Daniel, book of Revelation, many, many things the Lord has put together, given Pastor Gene over the years. And that reminds me, Pastor Gene, we got a phone call on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady has his book, and she wants to talk to him.
She got the book in 2003. Can you believe that?
2003.
So it's been updated quite a bit since then.
Yes, and she says she's read it again, and she loves it, and she wants to talk to him and ask him some questions. Well, right now he's had some struggles with his
bronchitis.
So please keep Pastor Gene in prayer, and that's probably why you hear me talking so much right now. So grace, amen.
Amen.
So pray for him. But I think about somebody who's had this book since 2003, and just now calling again after all those many years to talk to him again. So, you know, this book is the word prevalent. Is that the right word?
Yeah, it's prevalent.
For today. And it's even more so for today because we are even closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen. So we just want to bless you and thank the Lord for you and for how you have been with us all these years. I want to mention, too, if you'd like to help support this radio broadcast, we certainly could use the support if you'd like to do that. You can send an offering to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. So that would be there. Or you can call us. I'll give the number one more time. It's area code 772-285-7007. Want to say hello to those in our fellowship that are listening as well. And we just want to thank you. We had a wonderful Passover Seder.
Sure did.
And
yes, we did.
Many people came, and it's a serious time. And we honored the Lord because he honored the Passover. And
he still honors it, doesn't he?
He still honors it.
And he will forever.
That's right. It started with Moses way back out, coming out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Amen. And the Jews were told to remember it from year to year and to teach their children and their little ones. And I know Marcy's here, and she tells me she loves the Torah. Well, the Torah is what? God's Word.
That's right.
She loves the Torah. We love the Torah.
That's our schoolmaster to the Messiah.
And I know you that are listening, you love the Torah as well. Amen. Well, I'm over in John chapter 19. Since we've come through the death of Yeshua, and we've talked about the Passover, how he died on Nisan 14, how he rose on Nisan 17. This is all in the book, mm-hmm. And you'll get familiar with those dates and calendars once you know God's prophetic calendar. And that's the very first chapter in this book that Pastor Gene the Lord has given him many years ago, and we need to make some more. We're almost out of them. So if you want one, I suggest you get one. And give one to somebody else as well. Well, I think about what says here. I'm just going to read the words of Jesus. In John chapter 19, verse 30, he said, "It is finished." And when Jesus gave up the ghost and he died, he said, "It was finished."
That's right.
And to me, that's like closing the book. He says, "It's finished." All the work that he needed to do was done. And all the work that he needed to do for us was done. There's no more work to be done.
Last sacrifice ever required.
Yes. There's no more work to be done except to receive the Lord and the grace that he's given us.
Amen.
Because our sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west, and God no longer remembers them. Well, you know, his disciples were a bit confused, I'd say, confused. And they didn't quite understand all the things that was happening. But you know, Jesus came back and he spent another 40 days with his disciples and sharing with them and teaching them and showing them things by way of his of example. And we can see some of them, not all the things that he taught or shared with them is mentioned here during those 40 days. But from what I've heard from other people, it's things of the kingdom, kingdom principles. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, if we go over and look at chapter 20, Pastor Gene.
Thank you.
In verse, well, you know, we know that many of the disciples, like I said, they were confused. They were here and there and yonder. But, you know, Jesus brought them all back together, didn't he?
Sure did.
But the women, they continued to keep an eye on the grave and keep an eye on, you know, about Yeshua and all. In verse 15, it says, "The women, who weepest thou? Who seekest thou?" Jesus said unto to the woman, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" What, in other words, who are you looking for? It says here, she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary," he called her by name, Mary. You know, Yeshua, Jesus calls us by name as well. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. And verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Now, why would Jesus say, touch me not? We're going to tell you in a minute. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He made it clear that his Father was our Father and that his God is our God. That's powerful right there.
Sure is.
That's powerful right there. Why did he tell her not to touch him? Because he had not ascended yet to his Father. Yeshua had to go to heaven, to his Father, because and cleanse the area in heaven, because
temple was polluted, wasn't it?
Satan polluted the temple in heaven.
Yes.
And he took many of his of the angels of God with him that followed. They followed Satan. Many of them, they're fallen angels, and they will all suffer one day and be put into the lake of fire. Be destroyed. There's no way for them to come back to Jesus, to God, to go back to heaven. They walked away. They left. They left the Father. They left God. So Jesus had to go back, and he had to go back to them. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus tells them, he says, he keeps telling them to have peace. Peace be unto you, he says at the end of verse 19. In turn 21, he says, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Well, where was he sending them? He was sent because they were his disciples.
Out into the world, right? The inner parts, wherever.
Out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
To preach the gospel. And he told them that they would also have persecution.
That's right.
And that they would suffer, and that many of them would die. And we know that right just this last week that how many hundreds of people were killed in churches in
Sri Lanka,
right? And so many Christians have perished and died, but we know that they're with the Lord. But you know, there's people suffering because of that, family relatives,
that's
members,
right.
Churches have been destroyed. These things continue to happen throughout the world because they come against the Lord. They come against God the Father. They come against Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord and Savior of our, he's our salvation. But Jesus said, he says, and when he said unto them, when he said this, he breathed on them. So Jesus breathed on his disciples and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. At that point, they were born again.
That's when they were born again,
at
right?
At that point, they were born again. They didn't really understand that born again experience.
Yeah.
But they were born again at that time. That's not when they received the baptism of tongues.
That's right.
But that's when they, we can read about that or in the book of Acts. But he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So they were born again then. He says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
That's a handful right there, isn't it, when you think about it? You know, they were going to go out and preach, weren't they, Pastor Donna?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do my best to say this with you all. And they were to preach the word. If people received Yeshua, what happened? Their sins were remitted unto them. And if they didn't, they walked away, and the sins still retained, were in them, and remained with them until such a time in the future, hopefully, if they decided to choose the Messiah. So it doesn't mean that the saints, you know, the apostles of the Lord could forgive sins. It was only the Lord, but he was going to use them to preach the truth, and the people either had to receive it or not. And if they didn't receive it, their sins remained on them, right?
That's right.
So it's a powerful word. So he sent them out, gave them the privilege to go out and preach the gospel.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
You know, one other side note while I'm talking, you know, back over here, Donna read this in verse 15, where the women came, they were weeping, and they saw this person, and we know it was Yeshua, and they assumed him to be the gardener. Well, this takes me back to the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Adam was supposed to be the gardener in the Garden of Eden to tend and take care of it, and he failed. But this gardener, he will never fail us. Aren't you glad? So and this takes me right back to the beginning, what God's doing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he goes on, and we know the rest of that chapter talks about there was one of the disciples who didn't believe.
That's right.
Well, I'm sure there were many people who didn't believe at that point.
Yep.
And they had to see. They had to. He said, you know, Jesus said in 27, "His reach hither thy fingers, and thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." See, Thomas had to see. He had to feel. He had to touch. The other disciples believed. They believed without that, and that's how we must be. We don't have to put our hands in his side, or the holes in his hands. And, you know, it's interesting that they remained there. They were still there.
Yeah.
I believe probably all the other marks on his body probably did not. He would probably look like the glorified Lord.
Let's hope so.
I'm sure he did.
Verse 29 clarifies that too.
Right, but those marks were still on his hands, you know,
his
hands and his side and his feet, those five different places of the cross. And what verse did you mention, Pastor?
29. Read that.
Thomas, he says, Jesus saith unto him, speaking to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
That's you and I in this room here and anybody else. Some people get a vision of the Lord, but I've never had a vision of him directly. But we believe, don't we? Because of the word have in front of us. It's the truth.
And I like what 30 says, because we don't know all the things that happened.
Nope.
But he does give us a few things that happened. We'll talk about that in a minute. And it says in 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book.
Someday we'll find out about all those, won't we?
Someplace in the Bible it says there's so many, it would take how many books? Would take a lot, lots of pages to be able to write down all the things that Jesus did.
Yes, verse, if you look at John 21, the last chapter, verse 25 says, and there are also many other things which Yeshua did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's how the book closes. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. In verse 31, back in chapter 20, it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. What does the word Christ mean?
He is the anointed one.
Messiah,
yeah.
Yeshua. It means salvation is Christ. Salvation is Christ. Yeshua means salvation, and Christ is the anointed one. And then it says, not only that, he's the Son of God.
That's right.
He's God's Son, his only begotten Son. And that believing ye, that word ye means everyone. Ye, like you all. That's King James speaking. Amen. That's King James Version. Ye might have life through his name. So life comes through the name of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Life comes through salvation, the anointed one, the Son of God. I'll say that again. Life comes through Yeshua, salvation, the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. Amen? So we thank you, Lord, for that. I want to go into chapter 21. Now, if you have something to say, Miss Margie or Pastor Gene, we'll just do this and hold your finger up, and we'll share, because I know we need to share the Word of God. Amen? So in chapter 21, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but the first couple of verses, it says that after these, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, he showed himself several times.
Yeah.
And several days between times. And we don't know what happened between the days that it says that he showed himself, and then maybe 8 days later he showed himself again. We don't know what he did during those times, between those times, because it's not all written. We just read that. It's not all in the scriptures here. So they were together, it says here, Peter and Thomas and Didymus and Nathaniel, and a lot of the different disciples were there with him, Peter, and go on. And they were going to go fishing.
Going to go back to their old trade,
aren't
they?
That was their means of their making money, of feeding themselves. They would fish. That was their trade. So Peter said, Simon Peter. Simon means what, Pastor Gene?
Mm-hmm.
Simon?
Peter.
You always taught about that, Simon Peter. Simon means hearing, is it?
Simon means hearing, yeah.
Hearing.
And Peter, he was known as a stone, not a big stone, but a little stone, right?
A little stone.
Yeah. Hear the stone.
Yes. So he says, I'm going to go fishing. And they say him to the, and the other said to him, what? We also will go with thee. So they were all going to go fishing, a group.
About eight of them decided to leave, didn't they?
So they went, and they entered into a ship immediately, it says, and that night they caught nothing.
Fished all night and caught nothing.
They went out and they caught absolutely zero, nothing. And so Jesus is teaching us an example that we can't catch anything. And we can't do things, I would say, this is for me, on our own.
That's right.
We need the power. We need the anointing. We need the Christ in us helping us to do the things he's called us to do. And some of the things might be, we might think they're very simple, and they might be. But to God, the simplest things are the most, I would say, important, maybe the most important. The grandeur, the great big things, they may not be the most important thing in God's eyes. It's just being obedient to what he's called us to do, whether we think it's important or not. God does. He sees everything. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. So here's Jesus standing there, and he's watching them. He sees them out there. He knows that they've toiled and they've struggled all night long.
Didn't catch one fish.
But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know. They didn't recognize him. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? In other words, do you have any fish in that boat? You know? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Now, Jesus knew they had no fish.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't have to ask them, but he asked them to show them, to prove to him them, so they would recognize him, so they would hear him.
Yep.
And they would pay attention. So he tells them to cast the nets on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, I was reminded, I spoke to a lady on Friday, and she reminded me, and I haven't looked it up, but you all may want to look it up. The words, see, we can still hear from the Lord. Even though Jesus spoke to them literally, we can still hear from the Lord spiritually, and we can hear a word in our spirit, our heart. This woman said, she said, it happens to be Marianne's daughter, Joanne, in Miami. She told me this. And she said she heard the word Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, Jubilee. Well, she knew that, didn't know a whole lot about the Jubilee, the Hebrew Jubilee, but she felt it didn't have to do with the Jewish people. And so she was, they had to go and fix Marianne's glasses because she fell again and she messed up her glasses. So Marianne asked her, what's the name of the glasses? So she looks in the glasses and Joanne was startled, and she felt like it was definitely a confirmation. The word was Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that's not just a coincidence. So she said, I'm going to look up the word Jubilee. Well, thank God, you know, we can go to the internet and we can look up things. So she looked up Jubilee, and this is supposedly, I haven't even looked it up, so maybe some of you might want to search it out, that there's a place in, I believe she said Alabama, where the water must come in from the ocean or somewhere.
From the Gulf, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe from the Gulf. And it's called a Jubilee, and it's been happening since the early 1900s. And every so often, I guess it's on a Jubilee, I don't know, but
every 50 years, she felt
that the Jubilee has to do with catching fish and has to do with the United States of America. So what happens there is this phenomenon that happens, and they really don't know why. I guess the scientists have tried to figure it out. All of a sudden, all of these fish and all of these animals from the sea are rushed up on the shore, and the people just go out and pick them up and put them in baskets. And it's like they have a Jubilee, and they have all this fish, and they have all these supplies, and it helps them with their finances.
Harvest of fish.
It's a harvest. So she felt that this radio program and WCNO and other places that share the gospel, it's like God is going to bring in the fish. Mm-hmm. God is going to bring in the fish. See, Jesus brought those fish to those disciples. They didn't have to do anything except throw the net on the other side. That's all the work they had to do. How much work does it take to throw a net? It's not, I mean, it takes a lot to pull a net in with a lot of fish, but God told Jesus, God, Jesus is God, he told them to just throw the net on the other side of the boat. And what? They didn't have to do anything. The fish came to them. So what she was saying was she feels that the fish representing the people and the salvation, they're going to come rushing in. They're going to, Jesus, the Lord, it's the Holy Ghost, you know. The Holy Ghost is going to bring them into the church and bring them into the body of Christ. So that reminded me of this when he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. So, and I think I like that word right because, you know, sometimes we try to do things one way and we think it's the right way, but all we have to do is just cast the net on the other side. And so anyways, I really thought that was an interesting thing that Jesus showed them because they caught many, 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 many fish. So what did they do? They obeyed. They cast, therefore, it says here in verse 6, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. So there's going to be so many, there may not be room for them in the church. You might build a huge church. It may not be room. I remember many years ago I had a word that, you know, that ball fields and stadiums would be full of people, of places that are built. You know, you don't have to, maybe you can't build a building big enough for all of the people that are going to come to the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the very next part is very important because Jesus questions Simon Peter about his love. And I know you've talked about this, Gene, many times. It says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. So he recognized it was the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him. He put on his
he had no shirt on.
His shirt, whatever you call it, shirt. And he cast himself into the sea.
Yeah.
He didn't even wait to row the boat in. I mean, he jumped into the water, and he probably started swimming as hard as he could to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
So will people be so hungry and so drawn by the Holy Ghost that they're going to, you know, run to Jesus, because the time is short, and Jesus is coming back soon. And people are, in the Bible, they're like fish. They're talked about, the Bible talks about people being as fish. You know, there's many fish in the sea. Right, Pastor Gene?
Yeah, Matthew 13 talks about casting the net out to bring in the fish of, you know, representing the nations of the world, you know. The fish, yeah.
So it says in verse 8, and there were other disciples came in a little ship, and they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So they needed some help.
Yeah.
So we all need help. We need help to bring in these fish and to disciple them. Not one person can do it. Not one church could do it. It's going to take many, many people. Amen. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So who had already prepared them food?
Our Lord, huh?
The Lord had already prepared the food for them. And what we're reading now is food. It's mm-hmm. our food. Amen. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have caught. So he's not going to discard any of those fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might have been many different kinds of fish in that net. But, you know, Jesus, all that come to him, he saves. Amen?
That's right.
So we know that it said there were 153 fish.
I did a teaching on that one time. It's too deep to go into right now. But my question was, who counted those fish? Huh? Wonder who counted those fish. I'll tell you who caught them. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. He knew exactly how many was there, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Probably didn't even have to count them.
That's right.
Amen. So Jesus calls them to come and to dine. So what does he want them to do? He wants them to have fellowship with him.
With him.
Fellowship with him. Come and dine.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about with Passover. You know, Passover wasn't, the meal, Passover Seder meal was not a a meal where you would eat fast and get up and go out and play or go out and do something.
That's right.
It was a meal where you were to lean back, to relax, and to enjoy the Passover, to enjoy the Seder, enjoy the things that are said, because that was the proof of them coming out of Egypt. And Jesus is our proof of us coming out of a spiritual Egypt, that we would come, we would be saved, and we would have our salvation. Amen. Coming from out from the world.
That's right.
So Jesus is calling them to come and dine. And, you know, you ever go to it's not like a fast food place. It's not a McDonald's, no. It's a fine place to dine when you dine with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Shototo boko shatata baka shatatai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus came in verse 13, and he taketh the bread, and he gave it to them, and the fish likewise. Now Jesus, even before the resurrection, we've read about two other places where he has given bread and fish. Amen?
Yep.
To people, thousands of people. Bread and fish to thousands of people. Glory to God.
Yep.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Many, many people he gave food to. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. So Jesus is asking him to feed his lambs.
Thank you, Lord.
We continue to pray for Pastor Gene. If this call, it's not a cold, that this cough will go so he can speak. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Lambs are like young born-again believers, yes, to feed them, yes.
And he asked them again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? So, you know, Peter was grieved, it said, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. He does know. He knows that we love him. He knows it down deep in his heart, in his cardia. God knows how much we love him, and we give God all the glory. So he continues to tell him to feed my sheep. And Jesus said in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We give you glory, Father God. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. We don't know. We don't know from day to day, but we follow the Lord from day to day. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus is calling us all to follow him. To follow him.
Amen.
To follow him.
While you're talking here, thinking about, you asked me a while ago, could I have one of those coffee lozenges? You talked about Peter's name. If we go to Matthew chapter 16, you know, God, Jesus asked his disciples in verse 15, they wanted to know, who you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This was a profound statement that was said at that particular time, and a lot of people don't really understand it. And Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 17, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, if we look at this, as we mentioned before, Simon's name means to hear. Now, we have Bar-Jonah. The word Bar in Hebrew basically means thee, and we have Jonah. What was the Hebrew name for Jonah? What did his name mean? The dove. Jonah means the dove. So what he said, blessed art thou. So he said, hear what? The dove. That's how he got this. It came by the Holy Ghost. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. These are some mighty powerful verses. And I will give unto thee the keys. You notice the word keys is in the plural. Many different keys to bring people to the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind, that means whatsoever you shall forbid on earth, shall be bound or forbidden in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose or allow on earth, shall be loosed or allowed in heaven. Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus. Huh? Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the Lord. Savior, Christ, Yeshua. These are some powerful verses. So the Holy Ghost told Peter what to say when Jesus says, But whom say you that I am? And he came up and said this. Huh? I love it. Thou art the Christ, the anointed Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's incredible, Pastor Donna.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, you know, back over in Matthew, because the next book we go into after John is the book of Acts. And the Acts of the disciples, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the believers. It goes on and on and on, and is going on today. But he said over here in Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them all. He says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And who has he given that power to?
To us.
To the church.
That's right.
To the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them, he says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Praise the Lord.
That
huh?
was the end of the book of Matthew. And if we go into the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for the book of Acts.
The Acts of the Apostles.
The Apostles, yeah. Acts Amen. Of the Holy Ghost,
Acts
really.
Acts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Verse 2, it says, Until the day in which he was taken up, that's Jesus, after that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments. I just read the commandments, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
To go. Giving commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And you talked about that before.
That's right.
There were many, many things.
He many showed, signs.
Many signs and wonders, infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days, they spent 40 days with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
after the resurrection, and speaking of the things of pertaining to the kingdom of God.
He had more to tell them, didn't
so
he?
So all these things were about heaven, about the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven, I'd say yes, heaven, but also the things of the kingdom of God right here on earth. The things that Jesus left heaven to come to earth,
mm-hmm.
to do the work of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So they were assembled together, it says next, And he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So this is 40 days are going by,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling them to don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave it. Stay there, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, saith he, ye have heard of me. So well, they knew that Pentecost was on the way. In 10 more days. Pentecost would be on the way. Mm-hmm. And we're in the season right now of counting the Omer. That's a certain weight of
starts praying. On Nisan 17, the resurrection day.
Right.
And they count what? 49 days plus one makes 50.
And so when it brings it up to the 50th day, that's the day of Passover. I mean, the day of Pentecost.
Chapter 2, verse 1 here, yeah.
And they knew Pentecost was coming. They had celebrated Pentecost for many, many, many years.
That's right.
So they knew it was on its way. So they knew what he was talking about. It wasn't that they weren't ignorant about what he was talking about. Now, maybe they didn't know the fullness of what was going to happen. I'm sure they didn't know the fullness, but they knew that Pentecost meant power. It means, so he's telling them to wait for the promise, because God had promised them. He had told them about the promise of the Holy Ghost before.
Right.
He told them that they would receive power. Amen? And he says, you heard of me. He had talked about this in when he was sharing with them and teaching them. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, that was for repentance, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now remember, we read earlier that they were baptized when he blew on them. That was when they were born again.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is a different baptism. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where they would receive the power, additional power, I would gather, and they would do signs and wonders as well. Amen.
And they did, didn't they? All through the book of Acts.
When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they were thinking about something else. They didn't really understand as of yet still what that power was going to be. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Yes.
Amen. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So right at that time when he talked about them receiving the Holy Ghost, who came and caught him away? The Holy Ghost. He was taken up. He was taken off the earth. And this was during the barley harvest. And he was taken up in a glory cloud.
That's
they
right.
saw him. They say that there was, 500 people or more.
At one time that saw him alive
him
after
leave,
his resurrection.
Saw
yeah.
him leave. And, you know, it says also that there were angels there. And they said that he was going to come back in like manner. He would come back. So he will come back, and he will catch us up in the sky when that time comes. He won't put his feet on the ground at that time, but he will be caught away. But until that time, we are to occupy.
That's right.
Amen. And
we'll be caught away one day.
And to do the work of the ministry, the work that God has called each and every one of us to do, whether it would be small or large, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
God looks at our heart, and he looks at our faithfulness. Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Now, Donnie, you're talking about Acts chapter 2 there, in verse 1. If we go back to the beginning in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. The third month on the Jewish calendar is the month of Sivan. We're heading toward that right now. And on the same day, so it means what, the third month, the third day. So what you just read over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, what day was that? On the it was Sivan, what? 3. It's when it came.
Mm.
On the third day. So we have amazing pictures that God painted before to show us how all these things are going to happen. But what happened in Exodus chapter 19? God came down the mountain and spoke. And the mountain shook, and there's fire and wind and all that. And we have the same thing happened on the day of Pentecost.
And verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey.
That's right.
And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Interesting. Where abode both Peter and James, and mentions all these disciples. Amen. And they continued in with one accord. They stayed together in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. There was the women there. Mary was there, mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120 people. 120 mm-hmm. people.
Yep.
Amen. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus when he was betrayed. For he was numbered with us and had obtained. Now they're going to talk about replacing Judas, and I'm not going to talk about that. But then in chapter 2, it says here, when the day of Pentecost, this we're coming up to that day of Pentecost, that 50th mm-hmm. day. That's that Jubilee day.
Yeah, so remember, they got to the mountain in the Exodus on Sivan 3, and 3 days later, the Holy Ghost was involved, and God stepped in, and he spoke from heaven. So this day in Acts 2:1 that you just read will be on Sivan 6. It was being, the way you would read this, when the day of Pentecost was fully being fulfilled. That's when it was. Go ahead, honey.
And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so you had to wait till fullness of it, the fully come. And it's interesting, Pastor Gene, you teach so much in your pictures of the Messiah book, your commentary, about how the new is a reflection of the old.
They complement one
and
another.
And you have to look back at what happened in the old, because all these things always happen. That's on right. The same calendar
same date.
Date,
yeah.
On the same Jewish calendar date, which we know, is 360 days in a year, 30 days in a month. And, of course, we know that the calendar, the Hebrew calendar, goes by the lunar calendar, not by a solar calendar. So every new month is a new moon.
That's right.
Every full month has an important time. Passover was not a full month. Jesus fulfilled. He fulfilled everything at that time when he died.
So from the time in Exodus 19 to Acts chapter 2 is about 1,500 years. And what? It was fulfilled at that particular time. All those years, and they rehearsed it and talked about it in all those years. And one day it became the real thing, didn't it?
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost landed. Go ahead, honey.
In verse 2 it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There was a sound. We were going to blow this trumpet we have here. We have a shofar here. I don't know if we can get up enough wind to blow it, praise God. A shofar. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So this mighty wind, this breath of God is what it was, the breath, the ruach
blew
of
into
God,
the room, didn't it?
Came blowing into the room. Wow. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. That's like fire.
Divided tongues.
Like as fire. And it sat upon each of them. So each and every one of them received this fire.
It
wasn't just received by a few.
They all got it.
But by all, every one of them received this fire.
Including the mother of Jesus was in that room.
And set upon them, and they were all filled. It says they were all filled. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us all to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues. Now, is that over with now?
No way.
It's not. We can all be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues.
And the evidence of that empowerment is what, Pastor Donna?
As the Spirit gave them utterance. It's the Spirit who gives you the power, who gives you the Holy Ghost, who gives you the utterance, who fills you with the tongues of God. And
that's right.
The tongues of angels. It
could
says
be.
It could be tongues of men. It could be tongues of angels.
That's right. That's the foundational proof.
That's right. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, why were there so many people, so many Jews from every nation under heaven? Because it was the day of Pentecost, and that's one of the three festivals that the men
All had to be in Jerusalem.
Had to be in Jerusalem.
That's right.
Men, I guess men and women, I guess there would be wives, because so here we see the women received the Holy Ghost too.
Yep.
It wasn't just for the men. You know, women served Jesus all the time, and he loved women, and he served them as well. And he never pushed them away. He never turned them away.
Nope, honored them always.
Yes, you can read about that several places. He always had women around him. Verse 6 says, now when this was noised abroad, so there was a lot of noise. There was a lot of noise. And multitudes came together. People came together. They heard this. They heard the sound and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. At that time, many languages were given out to these people, not just one language, but many different languages
all over the world,
and people heard them speak in their own language. Now, the languages of other nations, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" They knew they were all from
Galilee.
That's
right. So how do they know my language, where I'm from? You know, some of those people traveled for days, months to get there for Pentecost.
So it was the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the spirits that gave them the utterance. And it was the Spirit that gave them the different language. And you think about it, when you have that many people speaking in different languages, you would think it would be total confusion. Now, you know, in the church, in some churches, they say they don't want you to speak in tongues.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you know, we can pray in the Holy Ghost, and it doesn't cause a disruption in the service. It could be our prayer language. It may not be in another language that's in the world, although I believe we do get tongues from other languages in the world for when we're going to prophesy and when we're going to bring forth the prophetic word, or when we're praying for a certain nation. You might all of a sudden get a language you've never heard before. You know, but you may know it sounds Oriental, or you know, you may know it sounds like it's from Africa somewhere. You may not understand it, but you're praying a prayer to the Father in that heavenly language, and it will move the hand of God to do a work in a certain places in the world that we may never know about. We may never know until we're in heaven at that time, you know? So they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" So, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to mention many different tongues and names. Amen.
We have to mention here, Pastor John, this is not an unknown tongue now. These are ethnic languages that were available at that particular time. Now, later on, Paul talks about the unknown tongue. So this is a different situation. These were tongues that needed to be translated for the people that came from those nations, so they would know that something supernatural had happened. These people lived in Galilee, and they could speak their language. Somebody from way up in Mesopotamia somewhere. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And what was the purpose for this, Pastor Gene?
It tells you right down here if you go through it.
Go ahead.
It tells you in verse 11, the last two nations, they mentioned the Cretes and the Arabians, mm-hmm. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's what it's all about. And they were all amazed and were in doubt and saying one to another, what meaning this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So bringing this together was what? It brought a unity in talking about the wonderful works of God. So I think it's amazing when a group of people can stand up in a meeting and like we could all sing in the Spirit. The Bible says, I can sing in the Spirit and I can have the understanding. And maybe we don't have the understanding, but we can sing in the Spirit.
It says sing in the Spirit and sing in the understanding.
Yeah.
I believe when you sing in the Spirit, then the Lord will prophetically give you the understanding to be able to speak so that everyone can understand what you are saying. Amen?
Right.
So, you know, but you know, there's always those mockers around. There's always people that will mock the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, that's one thing.
We still have them today.
That's one thing Jesus talked about. We do not mock the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It's because verse 13 says, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They were full of wine, but they were full of the wine of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because they were speaking to all these people, could understand them in their own language. They were speaking the wonderful works of God. So they could discern. They could pick up that sound, that voice. They could pick up their own language, even though there were many languages being said at one time. Their ear was tuned to hear their own language about the wonderful works of God, which is so awesome. Amen. So we just thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost, and we're coming up on Pentecost. So, you know, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, ask the Lord, because he will give it to you. And, you know, this was prophesied back over in Joel, because he said, it even talks about these people, about supposedly that they were drunk. But he goes on and says in verse 17, and it's going to come to pass, and it's come to pass, and it's going to be get stronger and stronger as the days get closer to the last days. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit,
hallelujah,
the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Glory to
hallelujah.
God.
And so we're in those days, aren't we?
We're in those days. So, we're in the days. The days of signs and wonders.
That's right.
And the things that God wants to do through the Holy Ghost.
And the Lord is on the horizon.
Through us, through his people.
That's
amen.
Right.
Well, we're blessed to be here on this this Sabbath.
Give them an opportunity to accept Christ, honey.
Yes, and if you haven't asked Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to come into your heart, ask him to come into your heart. He will. He'll come in, and he'll give you a new heart, and he'll renew you. You'll be renewed in spirit, soul, and body, and God will touch you, and he'll give you those things that he wants you to have, and the things that he wants you to do. And we just thank the Lord. So just ask Jesus. You know, you can call us, or you can call the radio station, and they will talk to you or pray with you. Either way, or we'll talk to you and pray with you. But I want to give our phone number again and let you know that we do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church on Osceola, 445 Southeast Osceola Street. That's in Stuart, Florida, right near the North Hospital. So this is Pastors Gene and Donna on this radio program called Raising the Standard, Lord willing, every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we're just blessed to be here. And we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. And have a joyful time in the Lord today.
And we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Each day we get closer. Praise
amen.
God. I don't think I can handle that with my breath right now, honey. So
glory to God.
But we're honored to be here with you. And so keep WCNO Radio in your prayers. You know, they went through this praise-a-thon, and they're real close to the goal that they want and all. And so just keep them in prayer. And if you got a heart for this station and what they're doing, well, just ask the Lord what he'd have you to give, and give what he tells you, and you're going to be blessed, and so will the radio station as well. So we're honored to be here again. We thank you for listening in. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, and it's called Raising the Standard. We want to see the standard of the Word of God raised up to a new dimension in our lives and your lives as well. So as we say this, we just ask you to have a great day. God bless you.
May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord, and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.